السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
عبد الرحمن، how are you؟
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
Start our class.
Yes, sir.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، we in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, we're looking at the chapter Babu Al-Mizah, Babu Al-Mizah, the chapter about teasing or joking, the chapter about teasing or joking. It can even be understood to be being humorous or some light play, mudaaba. Playing, does a Muslim play? Can he play? Can he joke? Can he tease people? We read from the hadith of Abu Huraira, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik yesterday, and then the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhuma. In the hadith of Anas, it was about Anjasha, the camellia of the women, and the man who had sonorous voice amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to drive and control camels when they travel in a caravan. But for him, his the animals that he controlled were those that the women rode upon. So once, while he sang sonorously to the camel to encourage the camel to move faster and better, Anjasha radiyallahu anhu was doing that, and then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Anjasha, Ruwaydan Sawqaqa bil Qawarir. Oh Anjasha, take it easy. Become Urfuq Sawqaqa bil Qawarir. Make easy, calm down, make it easy. Your driving of the fragile vessels, make your driving of the fragile vessels, make it easy. Be calm with it, be slow in it. And the various interpretations of that hadith were explained yesterday, that there were considerations that the women were compared to flexible, breakable glass vessels because of their physical relative weakness, because of the relative physical weakness of the women. So if the camel moved too fast, the women will not be able to bear the burdens of the shaking they will have as the camel moved so quickly. And in another explanation, it said that the driving of the camel itself, when Anjasha radiyallahu anhu was singing to the camels, that the easy, breakable attributes of the women that were in consideration were their emotions towards the singing, towards the sonorous voice with which Anjasha sang to motivate the animals to walk faster, and that the minds of the women may not be strong enough to sustain the sonorous voice of Anjasha radiallahu anhu, Abu Maria radiallahu anhu. So the point of reference in that hadith, as we pointed out yesterday, was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed down Anjasha, and in a tease referred to the women as al-qawarir. He referred to the women as qawarir alayhi salatu wa sallam. The second hadith that we read, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentioned that the companions radiallahu anhum said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulallah, innaka tuda'ibuna. O Messenger of Allah, innaka tuda'ibuna. You make muda'aba, you tease us. you make fun playfully, you make fun with us, and you're a messenger of Allah. Yani innaka tumazihuna, you laugh with us, you play with us, you make fun with us, you tease us. And you, the messenger of Allah, you're a messenger of Allah, you're a person of high esteem, yet you play. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirming that, he went on to give a guideline about how fun and teasing should be. He said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, inni la akulu illa haqqa. Yes, in my play, in my fun making, in my teasing you, in my joking with you, la akulu illa haqqa. I would not say anything except the truth, what is fair, what is nice, not going beyond limit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it, and we read it to us from the comments of the ulama, specifically al-Imam al-Nawawi, when he said, rahimahullah, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gave a guideline about making fun and teasing and joking, that the fun we shall make must not be fun of lies. We read to us a statement where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us that the curse of Allah is upon those who yuhadithu an-nasa bil hadith al-kadhib li yudhikahum, those who will tell to the people narrations of lies, who will tell lies to the people by way of making them smile and laugh. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, waylun lahu, waylun lahu. The one who will do that, may Allah's curse be upon him, Allah's curse be upon him. Those who lie to make the people laugh. So that we took from it, that it is not lawful for a Muslim to take up a job of making the people laugh. You make the people laugh, and by doing that, you tell lies. It is not lawful for a Muslim to take up such a job. Why? The Messenger invoked the curse of Allah upon those who did that. And when you support those who do that by buying their films and the like of that, you are supporting the person upon whom there is the curse of Allah. May Allah protect us. To proceed upon the chapter, today, inshallah, we hope to read a number of ahadith. So our reading will be faster today, inshallah, from hadith 266. We'll be starting our reading today from hadith 266. Still under the chapter about teasing and joking. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana sadaqa, qala akhbarana mu'tamir, an Habib, Abi Muhammad, an Bakri, Ibn Abdullah, qala, kana ashabu al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yatabadahuna bil-bittikh. كان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتبادحون بالبطيخ فإذا كانت الحقائق كانوا هم الرجال كان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتبادحون بالبطيخ فإذا كانت الحقائق كانوا هم الرجال. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, haddathana sadaqa, our teacher sadaqa reported to me, and sadaqa here is sadaqa ibn Fadl, Abu al-Fadl, sadaqa, from whom Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith, he is sadaqa ibn al-Fadl, sadaqa as we write as sadaqa. If you want to write sadaqah, when you mean charity, that is the name of this imam, sadaqah, just sadaqah, charity. So his name is sadaqah ibn al-Fadl. So someone asks you, can someone bear the name sadaqah? Yes, you can bear sadaqah, one of the teachers of al-Imam al-Bukhari. His name was sadaqah. He is sadaqah ibn al-Fadl, Abu al-Fadl al-Marwazi. Rahimahullah, he said, akhbarana mu'tamir. Mu'tamir in this isnad, he is Mu'tamir ibn Sulaiman, At-Taymi Abu Muhammad. Mu'tamir ibn Sulaiman, At-Taymi Abu Muhammad. He is reporting from Habib. Habib in this report, he is Habib أبي محمد العجمي، حبيب أبي حبيب محمد أو أبو محمد، he is حبيب أبو محمد العجمي، حبيب أبو محمد العجمي، and he is reporting from the eminent tabi بكر ابن عبد الله المزني. بكر ابن عبد الله المزني، he is tabi أبو عبد الله، بكر ابن عبد الله. You see that بكر ابن عبد الله, his name coincides with the name of the big scholar of hadith and fiqh who just passed away, Sheikh بكر ابن عبد الله. Why he has a kunya or a laqab Abu Zayd? He used to be referred to as Abu Zayd, but he is Bakr ibn Abdullah. So this tabi'i, he is Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani Abu Abdullah. He said, "Kana ashabu an-Nabi," is from Banu Muzayna. As we can see, he is al-Muzani. Bakr ibn Abdullah, he is al-Muzani Abu Abdullah. He was from amongst the students of the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, who is also from Banu Muzayna, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal. He's also from the companion, the students of the companion, Ma'qal ibn Yasar. These are companions from Banu Muzayna. He met about 30 of them, from Banu Muzayna, who were students of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were his own teachers. So Bakr ibn Abdullah was the person who met many of the companions. He met about 30 from those who were from Banu Muzayna, amongst whom were those that we mentioned, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, Ma'qal ibn Yasar, and others. So he's well aware about the way of life of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of what he saw them do was what he has reported here, rahimahullah. He said, "Kana ashabu an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." What would one of the things the companions of the Prophet would do? "Kana ashabu an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatabadahuna bil bitikh." Yatabadahun, yani yataramun. يتراومون بالبطيخ, amongst themselves يتراومون بالبطيخ, they will stone بطيخ. The بطيخ is the melon. The watermelon is referred to as بطيخ also. It has other names. Allah mentioned another name for the watermelon in Surah As-Saffat, and that is اليقطين. When Nabi Yunus عليه السلام was expelled from the belly of the fish, what he came across, the tree under which, where he was, he found the watermelon, which he ate, alayhi salatu wasalam. In that verse in the Quran, in Safat, the watermelon was referred to as yaqtin. But Arabs also would refer to the melon as bitikh. So Bakr ibn Abdullah said, "Kana ashabu an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatabadahuna bil bitikh." The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to throw bitikh at one another. One would eat the watermelon. When he finished, he threw it at his brother by way of joke, by way of a play. It's like someone takes the gram nuts that we have in the gram nuts that we have, we break and then we open it up. If someone breaks the gram nut, what's that called? There's a gram nut the gram nuts that you have. We break them, we take the gram nuts from inside it. The container of the gram nuts, what's it called? So when you finish that, you throw it at someone. Maybe you are all eating gram nuts. "Hey, Abu Abdullah, let's sit down." You call someone selling gram nuts, or you bought the gram nuts, cooked gram nuts, and you began to eat the cooked gram nuts. You can break off the gram nuts. You open it up. You take the gram nuts from the container, and then you throw it at someone. This can go for a play. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to do that. He took out the granules from his shell, and then he threw it at someone. Don't say, oh, you are throwing that at me. Are you foolish? Are you mad? It could have been a play, because nobody would do that to you except a friend. So the companions, radiallahu anhum, yatabadahuna bilbitikh, they would throw to themselves the shell of the watermelon. Faiza kanat al-haqaiq. He said, Bakr ibn Abdullah said, Iza kanat al-haqaiq. When the times of reality came, when the times of seriousness came, when things change, he said, radiallahu anhu, kanu humur rijal, they are the men. When things change, they are the men. So he described two conditions of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. He described the extent to which they could go in a play. Yes, they could play to the extent that they would throw the peels of the bitir, the melon, at themselves. At that, they could play up to that extent. If a person could throw the peel of the watermelon to his brother, how much other things could they do in a play verbally? They could say a lot of things to themselves in a play. And they are friends. They understood that they are playing and teasing themselves and joking. But that is at the time of a play. He said, فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْحَقَائِقِ. But when the realities come, maybe they were called for a jihad. Maybe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing a matter amongst them. Maybe anyone brought a matter from his home to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Maybe they had a visitor. Maybe someone came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question. He said, كَانُوا هُمُ الرِّجَالِ. These people, they changed. They became men. The things will change. Their countenances will change. They sat down and addressed the matters. They would not bring the euphoria of the play into the matter that is serious. This is from the aspects of the wisdom of the companions. Radiallahu anhu. At the time of play, they recognized play and did play. And at the time of seriousness, they recognized seriousness and they were actually serious. But the point of reference for us here today, no one of us should come and say, I am Salafi, and so I don't laugh. I am Salafi, so I don't joke. I am Salafi, so I don't accept that someone teases me. You can be teased. Someone can tease you. Your wife can tease you. Your children can tease you. You can tease your brothers. When Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was being advised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take a wife, and he took a wife thereafter, and then the Prophet was encouraging him to take a young virgin girl for a wife, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned what he gained from a young virgin girl. And he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, tudahikuha wa tudahikuka. You will make her laugh. You will be humorous towards your wife. Wa tudahikuka. And she will make you laugh. She will share humor with you too. To la'ibuha, you will play with her and she will play with you. So no one should say, oh, I'm Salafi and Salafis don't play. Oh, I'm a person of Sunnah. I'm a Sheikh. I'm Ustaz. Don't play with me. All I know is hereafter. And the matters of the hereafter are serious. So I'm not laughing. I don't joke. To joke in this circumstance and understanding such jokes from the aspects, to be from the aspects of following the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, will be counted as rewards for you. Let's have this understood. If we joke because the Prophet used to joke alayhi salatu wasalam, if we tease our friends because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tease our friends, if a woman would tease her husband because the Prophet encouraged that women alayhi salatu wasalam, he encouraged that women tease their husbands. If a man would tease and joke and play with his wife because all of these things were encouraged by the Prophet. Verbally, clear-cut statement, he was saying, and he himself used to joke with Aisha, radiallahu anha, and the rest of his wives. He would joke with them, he would play with them, he would make them smile, he would make them laugh. They would smile, they would laugh. Because this will encourage mutual understanding in the home. It will encourage mutual understanding among spouses. When it happens among friends, It will encourage mutual understanding and friendliness amongst the French. It will make them see themselves as one. It will make them see themselves as down to earth towards themselves. No one raises his shoulder against his brother if he is able to joke with him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to joke. So if we joke and play and tease ourselves and have fun in this manner with the intention of following the sunnah, we shall be rewarded for that. We shall be rewarded for following the sunnah in a joke. We shall be rewarded for following the sunnah in a fun. We shall be rewarded for following the sunnah by way of teasing ourselves. Yesterday I read two young people teasing themselves, two young people, and they were both females. I read about it. One of them said to the other one, they are not married. One of them said to the other one, hey, look, I will not marry until you marry. And when you marry, I'm going to marry your husband. The other one said, ha, you can't wait. Then they started teasing themselves. These are things they say to play amongst themselves, to by way of familiarize amongst themselves and increase friendliness amongst themselves. So we understand that it is from the sunnah to joke. It is from the sunnah to play. It is from the sunnah to have fun. A brother complained to me about 2 weeks ago that there are some brothers, anytime you see them, they are frowning. They don't laugh. They don't joke. We also remember about last week, one of the women complained about her husband. He never jokes with her. He never plays with her. This is not from the sunnah at all. This person is not upon the sunnah in this matter at all. The sunnah in this matter is that we are free. We play, we smile, we joke, we have fun, we tease ourselves as husbands and wives, as brothers, as sisters, as friends, as colleagues, and so on and so forth. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and it is the way of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And that was why Bakr ibn Abdullah said to us that kana ashabul nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatabadahuna bil bitikh. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam yataramawun. They used to throw al bitikh at one another. That is the shell, the outer part of the melon. He said, فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْحَقَائِقُ when matters become serious, كَانُوا هُمُ الرِّجَالُ. Rijal, they are the men. They take those matters, they become serious with them. I think that will suffice on Hadith 266. In Hadith 267, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Bishr ibn Muhammad, Qala akhbarana Abdullah, Qala akhbarana Umar ibn Sa'id, Ibn Abi Hussein, and Ibn Abi Mulaika. قال ما زحت عائشة عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقالت أمها يا رسول الله بعض ضعبات هذا الحي من كنانة بعض ضعبات هذا الحي من كنانة قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بل بعض مزحنا هذا الحي. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reports this hadith from his Shaykh Bishr ibn Muhammad. Bishr ibn Muhammad, he is Abu Muhammad. Bishr ibn Muhammad, he is Abu Muhammad al-Saqtiyani. He is Abu Muhammad al-Saqtiyani. He said, Akhbarana Abdullah. Abdullah that he intended here was the Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak al-Hanzali, Abu Abdul Rahman. So he is reporting this hadith from the great scholar of hadith and sunnah, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He said, Akhbarana Umar ibn Sa'id, ibn Abi Hussein, Umar ibn Sa'id, ibn Abi Hussein al-Qurashi. So he is ibn Abi Hussein al-Qurashi. He is reporting it from the eminent Tabi'i, Ibn Abi Mulaika. Ibn Abi Mulaika was common. And Abu Mulaika is in reference to his grandfather. Otherwise, his own name is Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah. ibn Abi Mulaika, he is Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, Abu Muhammad al-Makki, Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, Abu Muhammad al-Makki. He is a Tabi'i, and he is reporting an event that took place during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That would mean that hadith is munqati. It has a cut chain. Specifically, it will be called mursal, because riwayatu at-tabi'i an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mursal. When a tabi'i reports a hadith from the Prophet, a tabi'i is the student of a companion. He doesn't say akhbarani or an Abi Huraira or an Abdullah ibn Umar, referring to a companion. And then he goes straight to mention the Prophet or an event that happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Such a report is called mursal. And the meaning of a mursal is a hadith that is cut off. Why? Because there is no link between that tabi'i and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibn Abi Mulaika was reporting this hadith. The hadith has a broken chain, and so it is not sahih. But still we'll understand what it means. What does it say? It says, مَزَحَتْ عَيْشَةُ إِنَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَزَحَتْ عَيْشَةُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Once in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, Aisha رضي الله عنها made a joke. She made a jest. She teased, she made a statement that was a statement of a joke. And her mother, radiallahu anhuma, said, Ya Rasulallah, ba'du du'abati hadha al-hayy min kinana. Some of the jokes that are common in this area, they are from the jokes of Kinana. The Kinana was an ancient Arab family from where the Quraysh have branched off. The Quraysh themselves are from Banu Kinana. They are from the ancient Arabs. Quraysh themselves, which is the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are a branch off from Banu Kinana. So she was like saying that these are very old, ancient ways by which the people made jokes. And that kind of a way, an approach to joking, is common in this community. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلْ بَعْضُ مَزْحِنَا هَذَا الْحَيِّ. In fact, what you even have, that is our own, we in this community, that is our own, that is some of the ways that we joke. Some of the ways that we joke. She said it was a joke of Kinana. The Prophet said it was rather our own joke. Rather, consider it as our own joke. What would that mean? It would mean that we ourselves are from Kinana. So if you say, oh, these are jokes of Kinana, it's like saying, ah, that is our own jokes. She was saying that these jokes of Aisha were the jokes of Kinana. The Prophet said, ah, that is our own jokes. What would that mean? Because we ourselves, we are from Banu Kinana. So the Prophet would make statements like this and affirm a joke. That statement of the Prophet was affirming that it was lawful for our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, to joke, even if it be the jokes of the pre-Islamic times. As long as those jokes do not involve telling a lie, as far as those jokes do not involve injustice, as far as joking does not become a custom for an individual all the time, he's joking and laughing. As long as all these other restrictions are observed, it is lawful to have a joke, even if that joke were a joke that the people used to do in the very early times. So instead of saying, ah, this is a joke of Kinana, the Prophet said that is our joke. Why? Because he himself is from the descendants of Banu Kinana. But this hadith is weak, because Ibn Abi Mulaika did not report a hadith from Aisha. radiallahu anha, so it has a broken chain between Ibn Abi Mulaika and Aisha radiallahu anha. I think that will suffice regarding that. The Prophet affirmed, as is in this report, it was said that the Prophet affirmed joking and did not even ascribe the joke to Kinana. He said, this is our joke. This is our own way of joking. In Hadith 268, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن الصباح حدثنا خالد هو ابن عبد الله عن حميد الطويل عن أنس بن مالك قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يستحمله فقال أنا حاملك على ولد ناقة قال يا رسول الله وما أصنع بولد ناقة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهل تلد الإبل إلا النوق وهل تلد الإبل إلا النوق الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported the hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. He is Abu Ja'far al-Dulabi. Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. He is Abu Ja'far al-Dulabi. He said, حَدَّثَنَا خَالِدٌ خَالِدٌ is خَالِدْ ibn Abdullah al-Wasiti. خَالِدْ ibn Abdullah al-Wasiti. And he is reporting from Humayd al-Tawil. Humayd ibn Abi Humayd. Humayd ibn al-Tawil is popularly called Humayd, the tall Humayd. There are many reasons why he has been called Humayd al-Tawil. Some say because he had a neighbor who was called Humayd and was a short person. So by way of differentiating between the two Humayd, Humayd ibn al-Tawil, the student of Anas ibn Malik, used to be called Al-Tawil. Some say that's the reason. Some say because he had a long hand. He had one of his hands very long. So they say because of that, they refer to him as Humayd Al-Tawil. Some say no, that his neighbor was very short. It is not as if he himself was a tall person, but compared to his neighbor, he was taller than his neighbor. So they will refer to him as Humayd al-Tawil, and it became so common with him that you say Humayd ibn al-Tawil, Humayd ibn al-Tawil. But he has a trait that has been mentioned regarding him, and I think that it is worthy of mention amongst us when we discuss people like this. It was said that when people differ in Al-Basra, in Basra where he lived, when people had grievance amongst themselves, when people quarrel, when people had a feud, they usually came to Humayd ibn al-Tawil. When people have quarrels, when people quarrel amongst themselves, easily they went to Humayd ibn al-Tawil to settle the quarrels and disputes amongst the people. So he was a main student of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Humayd ibn al-Tawil. He said, Ja'a rajulun, he's reporting this hadith from his Shaykh Anas ibn Malik. He said, Ja'a rajulun ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yastahmiluhu, asking the Prophet to provide him a ride. Messenger of Allah, give me something that I can ride. Give me a ride. We read a hadith previously before today. Someone went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked for a ride, because there will be rides, there will be camels of zakah. So maybe he needed a camel. So it is from the things that you can ask for. Can you provide me a ride? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had camels from zakah. And during their times, whoever did not have a camel usually had troubles. Why? Because he will be cut off from life. How does he move around in the desert, go to his farm, and carry out other daily needs without a ride? So the ride for them was a basic necessity. So when they did not have and they found ways of having, they could not get, they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked for a ride. So this man came to the Prophet yastahmiluhu, asking the Prophet to please provide him a ride. And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a tease, ana hamiluka ala waladi naqa. I will provide you a ride, but the ride that will provide I will provide you is the little one of a Naqa. The Naqa is the she camel. A female camel is called Naqa. A female camel is called Naqa. So when the Prophet said, I will give you the child of a Naqa, that companion understood from it that he was going to get a foal. The little young camel was what he would get. Because he said, Waladu Naqa, the child of a female camel. So he said, Ya Rasulallah, wama asna'u bi waladi Naqa, what will I do with a foal? What will I do with the little young camel? What will I do with the little young of a female camel? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهَلْ تَلِدُ الْإِبْلُ إِلَّا النُّكْرَ. Does the camel have a child except the nook? Does the camel have a child except the nook? It's like saying to your daughter, I will marry you to the child of a woman. I will marry you to the child of a woman. And then your daughter asks you, what will I do with the child of a woman? Because when you say the child of a woman, the mind will easily go to a little young newborn, the child of a woman. But we know that every male, no matter how matured you are a child of a woman. So that was what the Prophet meant, alayhi salatu wasalam. He told that companion, I will provide you the child, the little child of a, I'll provide you the child of a camel, of a female camel. So he was asking, what will I do with the female child, the child of the female camel? What will I do with that? And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, even the huge camels, are they not children of a particular camel? Do you understand? So it's like we gave in an illustration. You say to a young girl, I will marry you to the child of a woman. Then she would ask you, you marry me to the child of a woman? You say, yes, I'll marry you to the child of a woman, because every man is the child of a woman. I hope that this illustration makes it clear. So the Prophet spoke like this, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he did, the companions took a tease from it. They took a tease. They took a tease, they took a fun, they took an enjoyment from it when he spoke to them. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith of a woman who came to the Prophet, yakbal tahsin, it is acceptable to say that the hadith is hasan. The hadith will accept being a hadith that is hasan, that is sound and useful for evidence. She came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask that he should pray that Allah makes her from the people of Al-Jannah, an old woman. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the old people will not come into Al-Jannah. So this woman became so sad. Old people will not come into Al-Jannah. Say, so yes, old people will not come into Al-Jannah. When he saw that the woman was sad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now read the verse to her, wherein Allah said in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Inna ansha'na hunna insha'a, faj'alna hunna abkara, urban atraban li ashabil jahim, li ashabil yameen, ma'adhiratan, urban atraban li ashabil yameen. Allah said in that verse of the Quran, Inna ansha'na hunna insha'a, we shall raise women who pass away, whether old or young. And sha'na hunna insha'a, we shall raise them up in one beautiful, very handsome, well-looking, good-looking way. Faj'alna hunna abukara, we'll make them virgins. Uruban atraba, uruban, we'll make them women that men love. Atraba, and their ages will be about the same. So if a woman died when she was 20 years old, and a woman died when she was 80 years old, when they will come into Al-Jannah, they will be Atraba. Their ages will be similar. So you will not find a woman 80 years old looking like an 80-year-old woman inside Al-Jannah. No. Allah would have changed the way she looks. She will now be looking like a virgin, young virgin girl. Allah says, we'll make them virgins. We'll make them women that men love. So that was what the Prophet was saying when he said to that woman that old women will not enter Al-Jannah. He meant that by the time the women will come into Al-Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have recreated models them to be beautiful, handsome, good looking, and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to tease the people alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to make statements of fun alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to play with the people. He used to joke with the people. But he will in all of these only say what is true and what is real. So it is from the sunnah to joke. It is from the sunnah to have fun. It is from the sunnah to tease. It is from the sunnah to jest. But don't make it something you do all the time so that it does not kill the soul. Likewise, don't make it something upon a lie. Likewise, don't have a fun upon a matter of the deen. Don't have a joke. Don't joke about affairs of the deen, making the deen look like a thing of play. As we read from the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, yesterday, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Banu Israel said that, are you taking us for a joke? What did he say? He said, A'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahili. From the ways of the people of ignorance is that they make the matters of the religion from the issues of play. So when we say we should play, we should joke and all of these, it is not with the issues of the deen. Don't take the matters of the deen for a thing of play. I hope that this chapter is clear. We could quickly go to Hadith 269 with the time that we have. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Adam, Qala Haddathana Shu'bah, Qala Haddathana Abu Tayyah, Qala Samitu Anas ibn Malik, Yaqul, Kana al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, La yukhalituna hatta yakula li akhin, لي صغير يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير. الإمام البخاري read this hadith from his Sheikh Adam. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Sheikh Adam, and that is Adam ibn Abi Iyas رحمه الله. He is reporting from Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, one of the scholars of Sunnah and Hadith. He is reporting from his Sheikh Abu Tayyah, who said, Samitu Anas ibn Malik yakul. Abu Tayyah said, I heard Anas ibn Malik say, radiyallahu anhu, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yukhalituna, the Prophet will mix with us, he will talk to us, despite the fact that he's the Prophet of Allah. So you cannot be bigger than being a prophet. If you are so religious, if you are so righteous, if you are so pious, you can't be more pious than being a prophet of Allah. You can't. Yes, as a prophet of Allah, he used to mix with the people. So some of the people will say they are shuyukh, I'm sheikh, I'm ustaz, fadila to sheikh. So they don't mix with their students. Mix with the people. Talk to the people. Relate to the people. That is the sunnah. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يخالطنا أنس said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يخالطنا. He would mix with us. He would talk to us. He would play with us. حتى يقول لأخي لي صغير. So much that even my own younger brother, I had a younger brother. He would play, relate with us so much that even my little young brother Abu Umair, the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to that little young boy, Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'ala nughayr. Oh, Abu Umair, what has happened to your little young boy called Nughayr? To the Prophet himself, too, alayhi salatu wasalam, he will joke and even joke with kids. The point here is, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned in the chapter heading, Al-Mizahu ma'as-sabi. So he called it Babul Mizahi Ma'as-Sabi, the chapter about extending our jokes to children. So don't say, am I your mate? Can you joke with me? You can joke with children. Abu Umair is the younger brother of Anas. When the Prophet came to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik was a boy of between 9 and 11 years old. Radiyallahu anhu. So how old would Abu Umair be at that time? He would be far younger. Abu Umair would be young. And yet the Prophet still played with Abu Umair. So don't let your status, your rank, your knowledge, your certificate, your whatever you would have acquired, don't let it be the reason why you can't play with young people. Don't let it be the reason why you can't talk to young people. Don't let it be the reason why young people see you as someone they cannot have access to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free with all. He used to play with elders just as he used to play with kids too. So much that the little young brother of Anas ibn Malik, whose name was Abu Umair, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to play with him and even ask about his little young bed that he used to play with. That boy had a bed that he used to play with. So you can play with children so much that you'll even be asking them about the instruments with which they play. If they had something with which they play, you can ask of it, how is that your football? Ask them about things with which they play is not out of place, no matter your status. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Babu al-Mizahi ma'as-sabi. This comes under the chapter about playing with children. In Hadith 270, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana ibn Salam, Kala Haddathana Waki' an Muawiyah ibn Abi Muzarrid an Abihi an Abi Huraira رضي الله عنه أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بيد الحسن أو الحسين ثم وضع قدميه على قدميه ثم قال ترق. We had read this hadith in the past that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said that أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بيد الحسن أو الحسين. The Prophet held the hand of either of Hassan or Hussein. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the hand of Hassan or Hussein. And then he said, radiyallahu anhu, thumma wadu'a qadamayhi ala qadamayhi. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed the two legs of this boy on his own. We know that play, we play with children. You carry the boy, you place his legs upon your own legs. And then the Prophet said to him, as is in this report, ثُمَّ قَالَ تَرَقَّ. Go up, come up, rise up. Meaning that the boy should begin to climb the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He should climb him up him, climb and come up, climb, come up. You know children will be climbing. You are holding them, they'll be climbing you. They climb from your shanks to your knees, then to your lap area, and then to your chest. They're the very, very bold ones. They can even climb up to your shoulders if you want to extend that play. So the Prophet used to play with kids. It's a point of reference in this hadith, even though this is not, it's also weak. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to joke with children. The point of reference under this chapter heading is that it is lawful for children to play. It is also lawful for elders to play and joke and tease young people. It is lawful for them to tease them, to play with them, to joke with them. The age barrier should not be the reason why we don't have any sense of fun with children. I hope that these matters are clear. Bismillah, we'll be going to the chapter about Husnul Khulki. The chapter about Husnul Khulki from our next class, inshallah. That will be from Hadith 270. I hope that these narrations are well taken, Bismillah. We can go on to the next in the series of questions that we have. Abu Abdurrahman, can we look at the questions we have today?
نعم يا شيخ انا حسن الله اليك
امين واياكم
نعم
There's a question here about the Rahman.
No.
It says, okay. Assalamu alaikum. Will writing fictional stories fall under telling lies? What do fictions mean? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. The person said, Can writing fictional stories fall under telling lies? Fictions are lies. You can't call something a fiction in literature except that you meant that they are not true. They are lies. So fictions are lies. What is available in reality is sufficient for us to learn the lessons of existence. If you want to tell a boy to be humble, there are a lot of narrations you can give from real life to show humility and the good results of humility. If you want to talk about being truthful, there are sufficient true stories, whether in the time of the prophet, whether in time after the prophet, even whether in our own times here as a people, you want to find a story for children about truthfulness, you find the stories. So lies are lies. And the exceptions are known. The exceptions for telling something that is not true are known. Learning is not from them. I mean, fictional stories, writing fictions are not from them. In fact, in the history of Islam, there were some people who used to be referred to as people of Al-Qasas. Someone would come and just start telling stories. The ulama used to deride them. They used to reproach them. Someone comes to start telling stories. Some of those stories will be fictions. So it means if these scholars live in our own times, they will classify people who write those kinds of fictitious stories and want people to read and enjoy them, maybe take lessons of life from them or even laugh by them. They will count them as from the aspects of those who were telling cases that are unverified. So what we have in verified stories is sufficient for us to learn the lessons of life. If you're a woman or a man, you like to write literature, there are so many things to write about in reality rather than imagining and telling lies. And then as an author, when you are writing fictions, what you are doing to your brain is that you are conditioning that brain to tell lies. You are conditioning that brain to make up stories. Because they are makeup. You are conditioning your brain to make up. If you become used to it, don't be surprised you too can become a liar. If you are used to writing fictions, by the time you know it, you lie. Why? You have conditioned your mindset to always be able to put up stories, to fix stories, to tell lies that are, to tell narrations that are not true. If you get used to it, by the time you know it, may Allah protect all of us. The individual begins to tell a lie as a way of life. So avoid it. Suffice with narrations that are real and true. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
Assalamu alaikum, Ya Sheikh.
There's a question here again, Abu Abdurrahman.
Now,
how can we attain that position that we play with each other in good manner? The first way to attain it is this that we are doing. You get educated about it. Many times we don't get educated about something, so we don't know the limits of that thing. For example, in a class far away, we discussed al-hasad. We would have been hearing hasad, jealousy, but we don't know what it means. So when you don't know what it means, how do you know how to avoid it? If you don't know what something means, how do you know how to avoid it? You'll be hearing about arrogance. What does arrogance mean? How do you identify arrogance so that you can avoid it? But we don't know what arrogance means. So if a man wears a cap, dresses very well, goes into his car and drives, people say he's arrogant. Is that the meaning of arrogance? That someone likes to wear fine clothes, someone likes to wear fine caps, someone likes to wear fine shoes. Is that the meaning of arrogance? People will take that to mean arrogance. Or is that the meaning of arrogance in the Sharia? The point here is that many times we say things, we do things, and we don't learn about those things. So we talk about jokes, we talk about fun, we talk about teasing ourselves and the like of this, but we don't learn it. But now that we have learned it, if you learned it, and your friend is also listening and learning the limits, the rulings of the Sharia about jokes, it will be easy for you to understand. I'm sure today, if someone took and broke open the shell of the groundnut, took away the groundnut and stoned it to you, you will not feel bad as you will feel bad if you had not understood that such a thing was lawful in Islam as a way of play with you. So if we learn about something, it makes it easy for us to be able to adapt towards it. The second thing that we need to do to get to this level that the companions got to, that they could play easily themselves, is that we should be humble. Be humble. Many of us are not humble. A person who has PhD, a person who has professor, a person who is fan, a person who is, what other thing does the society respect? A person who is a president, a person who is a governor, thinks that because I'm a governor, I cannot joke. Because I'm a permanent secretary, I cannot joke. Because I'm a director, I cannot joke. How can a director be joking? But when you look at people who are very, very well trained, even presidents of the world, they throw jokes, they joke. Recently, one of the aides of the president in our own country, President Buhari, he wrote some jokes that the president used to throw at him when they met every day. He said he has a joke. It's one huge way to be a good leader. One major way to be a good leader is that you're able to joke with your subordinates, and appropriately so. It will motivate them. It will bring them closer to you. It will make them love you. It will make them like to listen to your orders and your instruction and the likes of this. So what we need is to be humble. Many of us are not humble. Our position and status and money and education and whatever we would have attained comes too much in our mind that we feel that we are the icons of the society, and icons don't joke, and icons don't tease, and icons don't do anything. Last Ramadan, I think I can leave that story aside, but I hope that the explanation is clear and will be sufficient reason, and will be sufficient answer to the question of the brother, inshallah. Abu Rahman, you have questions with you?
Naam, Ya Sheikh Adam.
Naam.
This one says, Assalamu alaikum, Ya Sheikh Adam.
Naam, Ya Sheikh.
What makes this last hadith to be weak? We are directed to another page for more explanation. Will you please briefly talk about that? Jazakumullahu khairan.
Amin wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan. We had discussed that hadith, the hadith Hassan and Hussein. We had discussed that hadith in the previous class, and that's been a while ago. But what Allahu A'lam has been mentioned as the reason for the weakness of that hadith is not coming to mind at all. This tahqiq that I have is the tahqiq of Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi. Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi. Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi, in their tahqiq, if you go, it occurs as the third footnote. They say أخرجه ابن أبي شيبة في مصنفه. He gave the place where it occurs in مصنف ابن أبي شيبة, and he said ضعيف. If you go back to it, he said ضعيف. Likewise, if you come to the تحقيق of Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله, it was on display, but I don't know whether it's still in display till as we speak now. In the tahqiq of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, if I don't forget, I'm sure that hadith also occurs as, it occurs as sahih in the tahqiq of Sheikh Al-Albani. But in the tahqiq that I am reading to us, it occurs as a weak hadith. No problem. We'll come back to that hadith, inshallah. It occurs as a da'if, du'afahu Sheikh Al-Albani. It occurs as a weak hadith too. If you go to hadith 270 in the tahqiq of Sheikh Al-Albani, it occurs as a weak hadith. So it's a du'afahu Al-Albani fi du'if al-adab al-mufrad. So Al-Imam Al-Albani also mentions it to be du'if. rahimahullah. We can come back to it in the next class. We start with it in our next class. The reason, the discussion regarding the authenticity of that hadith, it will come in the next class, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair, ya Shaykh.
Amin wan.
So this one reads, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Yeah.
How do we separate between lies and jokes, like in the instance of the two sisters you gave today, saying,
yeah,
I will marry your husband, might be a lie. Help reconcile, Shaykh.
They were both not married, so there is no husband. They were both not married, young people. They are not married at all. There is no husband. There is no husband, so the basis for the statement does not exist. So, and it could mean that in the future they will do that. It's like saying, I'll marry you to the child of a woman. The first thing that comes to the mind is that the child of a woman, what will I do with the child? Like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. But the fact remains that every camel that you ride is a child, or every husband that a woman would marry is a child of one woman. So there are things like this that in the first, merely looking at it, you will say, what does this mean? But upon deep thought, you know that it's either a statement that could be right or it could be wrong. It could be right or it could be wrong. But the aspects of its rightness will be given preponderance. So if a young girl says, I will marry your husband, and the other one doesn't have a husband, so who is she saying that she'll get married to? The best of what we can take from that statement is that I like you, and I would not mind being a co-wife to you. It is accepted. It's accepted that a woman says that. The other one says, okay, I will approach your husband to marry. It's not wrong. By way of expressing closeness and willingness to be together with a husband. I know people who did that, and they actually got married to the same husband. So if actually they intend that, I didn't know what they intend, but the statement appeared normal to me. If actually they intended that, and then there's nothing wrong about that. If they did not intend it, they only meant to show to themselves that they love themselves so much that they can share a husband, then that's not wrong too. You can express your love for a sister by saying that, wallahi, I would like to marry your husband. And you are both not married. By way of saying that, I would like us both to live under the same roof, under the same control of a man. So this is the interpretation that I took from it. I took from it that they were expressing love for themselves by way of saying that I wouldn't mind to be a wife under a man that you would marry. The other one say, I wouldn't mind being a wife under a man that you would marry, by way of showing that I love you and I care for you and I like to be with you for the rest of life. This is the meaning that I took from it, and I considered it appropriate, inshallah. Abdul Rahman, are you with us? Abdul Rahman, are you with us? Naam. Abdul Rahman.
Naam, ya Sheikh Adam.
Naam.
Another one reads, he says, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A brother has been masturbating for 8 years.
Allah.
How can he overcome this challenge?
I would say that he should, for the sake of Allah, look for a righteous person in his community that will help him over the process of getting over this evil. May Allah protect us. But for some of the things we can quickly say here is that it should disconnect, it should stop it. The bulk of it is about self-deceit. The person who does that thinks that he gets satisfied, but it's about deceit. There's no satisfaction that comes from it, except that momentary ejection that he gets. After that, the entirety of his body becomes weak, and a lot of things have been written about the evil effects of this evil upon the individual's body and upon his mentality. So it's proper to avoid it, stop it, and then look for someone in the community that you know you can explain this matter to, and then he will guide you gradually upon how to abstain completely. From that, after stopping it, is begging Allah to help him overcome this evil. Sincerely begging Allah to help him overcome this evil and putting away all the means to it. If you have a phone, you look at it and it becomes a means of agitation for you that brings you to this evil. For the sake of Allah, disconnect from using such phones or viewing such pages that brings you into this evil act. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help this brother and remove this evil from his mind and from his actions. Please, for the sake of Allah, get in touch with people. Look for someone you get in touch with that will discuss this matter in broader details with you and help you gradually to get out of this evil. May Allah protect us all.
Ameen. Another one reads, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. What is the ruling of committing a sin and asking for Allah's forgiveness on it, but still repeating this thing, and he has for Allah's forgiveness?
One of the scholars say that it's like taking forgiveness and repentance for a play. It's like taking your religion for a play. You commit a sin and you go back to it. You commit a sin and you go back to it. Not that you fall in it. There are times that the man battles with his hawa, his self-desire. He battles with evil suggestions until he becomes weak and he falls into a sin that he had repented from. This is a different situation. When a person would go back to the sin and say, it's all about seeking forgiveness from Allah. Yes, nobody will say that Allah will not forgive you, but you are beginning to take your deen and your relationship with Allah as a thing of play, as a thing of joke. You are beginning to take in your deen and your Lord that you come back to and say, Astaghfirullah, O Allah, I ask for your pardon, Wa atubu ilayk, and I seek your forgiveness and your pardon. You come back to Allah while you know that you are going back to it. So it's by means, it's like from the aspects of making and taking your religion, your acts of repentance for a play and a joke. It would mean that statement of yours are irrelevant. That tawbah is not nasuha. It's not sincere. It doesn't come from your mind, because even at the time that you're asking Allah to forgive you, you were cocksure that you are going back to evil. So what is the forgiveness? What is the repentance you're asking for? So these kinds of people should desist from these kinds of practice. Bismillah, in the classes, Ramadan reminder series, we'll be discussing more about repentance, how to attain repentance, evil practice, and the evil effects of evil. Bismillah, we hope that most of these things will find greater attention in those discourses, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman.
Now, ya Shaykhana, assalamu alaykum.
I mean, can we take this as the last question?
Yes, ya Shaykhana. Now, it says, does calling a baby young boy one's boyfriend or husband falls under the lie for playing, even though society is calling against such statement because of different things going on? We ask for protection. Jazakumullah khairan, ya Shaykhana.
I mean, what's the name?
Calling a baby young boy, calling him one's boyfriend or husband, does it fall under lie?
Your baby calling your boyfriend. What you mean is that he's a boy and he's a friend. If a woman calls her son my boyfriend, or is it an adult calling a woman, for example, calling her neighbor's son her boyfriend? Is this the question? Or her own son?
I don't understand.
Yes. Let's address each of the cases. If a woman calls another boy, maybe the son of her friend, little young boy, to say, my friend, it is not wrong. If an elderly woman, aged woman, calls a little young boy, they just give back to, oh, my friend. If she's carrying the boy on her hands to herself, say, oh, my friend, stop crying. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. Meaning that someone she loves, someone she cares for, someone she's friendly with, because the meaning of being a friend is someone that you have affection for. And women like the children of their friends. Women like the children of their friends. So in the circumstances, if as a child, a little young boy, very little young boy, far away from any kind of recognition of anything that a woman does, a boy that is as small as that, the friend of the mother can carry her to her chest. So you can imagine how small that boy will be. If you call those kinds of children my friend, there is nothing wrong about it, because it is not expected that a woman would normally say any other than that, I like this boy and she's the son of my friend. Now, if the child is your own son, and out of deep love for your son, you say, my friend, my boyfriend. It's just saying that my friend who is a boy, it doesn't mean any more than that. So a woman can say that to her child, and she can say that to the little young boy who is the child of her friend, or the child of her neighbor, or the child of her sister, as the case may be. The problem with us is that the generation is so, a lot of things have gone wrong with people, such that they are easily construed to mean evil when they don't even mean any evil at all. Why? Because of the widespread of evil. If a woman, an umu, is saying that to the son of another umu, oh, my friend, boyfriend. Of course, she could also mean a girlfriend to a girl. She could mean that. She'd not meant more than that. But when she begins to say that, then people begin to interpret things that she has not intended. I think this is what we should watch in that circumstance. Women should not say that in a circumstance where it will be misinterpreted to mean other than what they have actually meant. Otherwise, the expression itself is in an innocent expression that could have been said to a woman, to the son of her friend, or to the son of her sister. Allahu alam. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. Can we stop there today, Abu Abdurrahman?
Yes, Shaykhan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum.